Remez le Rabbi Shnal min a Torah Minayim. You have to know.
What do you mean?
Where is there a hint to your Rebbe in the Torah? So I was thinking, all this farm talk about, you know, we read this past Shabbos, there's a terrible mabul in the world. Right? And Noach was a tzaddik. And Noach wanted to make sure that he would stay holy, he would stay pure, so he built himself a magnificent boat, and he entered into the boat. And all this farm talk about, when we have this picture of entering into the teva, entering into the boat, teva also means a word. In Hebrew, teva can mean an ark, it could also mean a word. So a Jew who wants to protect himself has to enter into the teva, you have to enter into the tevas of Torah and Tefillah, into the words of Torah and Tefillah. You have to try to really connect yourself to the Torah that we learn, to the davening that we daven, right? And that's what Noach did. Noach connected himself to Torah, and that protected him from the mabul. So I was thinking, I said, wow, I had the chance to speak to Rabbi Shnal's Talmidim. Being in Rabbi Shnal's shir is like being in a teva. No? Rabbi Shnal protects you, watches over you. But then I realized an amazing thing. What were the dimensions of the teva? It was 300 long, that's a shin. By nun. By lamed.
No way.
It was 300 by 50 by 30. Ah, but you'll say, but Rabbi Shnal, that's not how he spells his name. He spells it shin, nun, aleph, lamed. Shin, what does the pasuk say? The boat should be 300 by 50 by 30, and then what? Ve'ala ama techalana milamal. It should have a one ama point on top. So mamish shin nun aleph lamed. Those are exactly the dimensions of the teva. You know how lucky you are. You have to know. You have to know how lucky you are. You're very fortunate to be in Rabbi Shnal's shir. I hope you know that. Rabbi Shnal is one of my heroes, one of my role models, what it means to be a Rebbe. A Rebbe who creates a spiritual environment for the Talmidim to thrive and to grow and to survive a world that's a mabul, no? So it makes perfect sense. Wow. So now you know, Remez Rabbi Shnal min a Torah Minayim. The Gemara doesn't ask that question, but I ask that question. Where is Rabbi Shnal hinted to in the Torah? So now you know, the exact dimension of the Teva is Rabbi Shnal. Ashreinu mato chokenu. You know, how fortunate we are to have such a Rebbe in our yeshiva. Okay. Now I would like to talk to you about Noach's struggle. Because Noach had a real problem. But I want to contrast it with Moshe Rabbeinu this time. Give me a description of Moshe Rabbeinu. How would you describe Moshe Rabbeinu? I just gave you a descriptive word. Rabbeinu. We call him Rabbeinu. Moshe is the great teacher of Torah. What else? Someone says, like, tell me a praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. What are you going to call him?
Leader?
A tzaddik? What are you going to call him? A leader? A manhig?
Somebody
a Rebbe?
Humble?
Someone who spoke to God? Humble? What did you say?
Somebody who got all his potential.
Okay, someone who maximized his potential?
Shalim.
Okay, he's called an Ish Elokim by the Torah.
Shalim.
He's a Shalim.
Everything he did was perfect. No?
But when Moshe is ready to pass away in Vizos HaBracha, the Torah refers to Moshe as an Eved Hashem. Moshe, Vayamas Sham Moshe Eved Hashem. And here is the moment that the great leader, the great tzaddik, the most humble of people to ever walk planet Earth, right, is about to pass away, and yet the Torah describes him as what? Vayamas Sham Moshe Eved Hashem, a servant of God. How does Sefer Yehoshua begin? Vayhi Achrei Mos Moshe Eved Hashem. Again, it refers to Moshe as an Eved Hashem. Every Shabbos, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. We say in davening, Yismach Moshe, Moshe, you should rejoice b'matnas chelko with your portion. Ki, because Eved Ne'eman Karasal. Moshe is called an Eved Hashem. That's the best title you can think of for Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a servant of God. I don't know. That's so great to be a servant of God. So if this is the title that the Torah gives Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to think about it. What does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? What does it mean that after a lifetime of complete dedication, he earns the title Eved Hashem? So maybe that's the answer. Maybe being an Eved Hashem means complete dedication through and through to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not a person who's wavering, but a person whose belief in Hashem and Hashem's Torah and his commitment to it is absolute. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. A person says Ani Mamins, right? You look at the back of the city of the 13 Ani Mamins printed after Shachas, the Rambam's 13 Ani Mamins. Yeah? Anima. I believe Be'emunah Shleima. You ever stop and ask yourself, do I really believe these things Be'emunah Shleima? Be'emunah Shleima? Do I really believe them? 100% I believe these things? Do I believe these things? If you look in the Bial Rebbe's Siddur, Chalkas Yoshua, he actually would say it differently. He was too scared to say it like that. It's too strong. Who am I to say that I believe the Emuna Shlema? With unshakable faith, I believe these principles. I want to believe those things. So you know what it says in the Siddur Chalkas Yoshua? The lashon that the Bial Rebbe used to use was what? Was what? I want to believe. I want to believe Be'emunah Shleima. I want to believe in these things. To be an Eved Hashem, to be the real deal through and through. You know what else that comes up in the Siddur? We take out the Sefer Torah. And we say the paragraph of Brich Shemei, which is the passage from the Zohar. And what do we say in that paragraph? We say, Ana Avda Dekutcha Brichu. You know the song? Avda Dekutcha Brichu. I am Avda Dekutcha Brichu. I'm a servant of God. Really? Moshe's dying praise is he's called an Eved Hashem. Sefer Yoshua begins with the Klal Yisrael trying to recover. Acharei Moshe, Eved Hashem. Yismach Moshe mat neschalko, ki Eved Neman karasalo. So we take out a Torah on a Monday when we're tired after a long weekend. Yeah, and all of a sudden, Ana Avda Dekutcha Brichu. I am a servant of God. A self-declared servant of God. Really? Really? So you know what it says in the Chalkas Yeshua? You know what the Bial Rebbe used to say? It's straight out of the Zohar. I mean, we don't usually start making corrections and changes in the Zohar, but he couldn't bring himself to say it like that. So he would say, Ana ba'ina l'meheve avda dekutcha brichu. I want to be, ba'ina, I want l'meheve to be an Eved of Hashem. I can't, who am I to say that I am? Ani mam b'muna shleima? I want to have a muna shleima. I really want to believe. But again, it's not such a simple thing. Because the definition of an Eved Hashem is one who has real emunah through and through. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu believed. When Klal Yisrael are being told by God, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people, Moshe says, no, I believe in the Jewish people. I'm going to fight you, God. I'm going to fight back. To believe in himself, to believe in people, right? To believe in Torah. That's why the Sfarim point out that the gematria of the word Eved Hashem, let's do a little math. Eved, Ayin Beis Dalet, is 76. And Hashem's name, Yod Hei Vav Hei, is 26. Put it together, is 102. Eved Hashem is Gematria Emunah. Because to whatever degree I have true Emunah through and through, I'm able to be an Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't waver. So now I want to come back to what I started with, which is Noach. Because Noach had an Emunah issue. Noach had a lot of Emunah issues. He had Emunah issues with God, he had Emunah issues with people, he had Emunah issues with himself. But Noach struggled with Emunah. Whatever Moshe was in terms of being the perfected Eved Hashem, that's the ultimate praise of Moshe, his Emunah. Right? And Eved Ne'emanus, trustworthiness. It's related to the word Emunah. Noach, unfortunately, didn't even believe in the things that he very much believed in. What do I mean by that? How long did Noach spend building the Teva? 120 years. Okay? 120 years he gave Musar Shmuzin. 120 years he built a teva. 120 years he's talking about this flood coming. And then the Torah says a shocking thing. When the waters finally come, what does it say? Vayavo Noach ubana v'ishto v'neshe v'anav yito el teva. Noach and his family entered the teva. Mipnei mei hamabul. He entered the teva because of the waters of the mabul. Says Rashi, Mipnei mei hamabul, af Noach mikat ne'amanahaya. Noach was also one who lacked faith. His emunah was immature, was unrefined and incomplete. Hayamamin ve'eno mamin shiyavo amabul. He believed, but he also didn't believe that the mabul was going to come. So can you imagine? For 120 years he's building this boat, he's telling everyone else about this boat, he's telling everyone else about this mabul. And yet he himself doesn't believe it, so much so, v'lo nichnas l'teva ad shedachku ha'mayim, until the waters chased him into the teva. So he was nearly drowning in the water. He said, you know what, I better get on the boat. Yeah, you probably should get on the boat by now. This is actually happening. So what does it mean to be... I want to talk about this phrase for the couple minutes we have together. That Noach was mamin ve'eino mamin. Because I think many of us fall into that same category. Where we're mamin ve'eino mamin. Where we like, part of us really believes it and part of us doesn't believe it at all. About a lot of things. What does it mean to be a mamin ve'eino mamin? How could Noach build the boat for so many years and still not really believe that the mabul is happening? So I want to share with you an insight from the Stipler Gaon. The Stipler Gaon, Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Kanievsky, father of Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, in Bnei Brak today. The Stipler Gaon, in his writings, Birchas Peretz, has a very powerful yisod about Amunah. He says there's two types of Amunah. And this is what it means that Noach, how do you have Amunah and not, either you have it or you don't have it? What do you mean he was Mamin ve'eno Mamin? What does that mean? If I believe, that means I believe. If I don't believe, it means I don't believe. How do I believe and not believe at the same time? And if you don't really believe, then you don't really believe. So why are you calling him a Mamin? So the Stipler said, there's Amunah Sichlis, there's an intellectual Amunah, and then there's Amunah Chushis, there's an Amunah that we feel. See, Noach intellectually believed that a marvel was actually happening. That's why he spent 120 years building a boat. He was communicating with God. He saw the world around him was completely falling apart. A very corrupt society. It made sense. On paper, it made a lot of sense that there was going to be a marvel. And he bought into it enough that he was invested in it. Physically, his time, his resources were invested in building a teva, which Hashem himself told him to build. And yet, a person could have amunah sichlis, you could believe something intellectually and be very strong about it, and yet somehow it's not trickling down that great gap that exists between the mind, right, the intellectual awareness of something, and to be able to feel it within myself. The Kotzker Rebbe said is the greatest divide in the world. To be able to know something is true and then to be able to feel that it's true are worlds apart. And that's what it means, says the Stipler Gaon, that Noach was mamin ve'ino mamin. If you would have asked him, Noach, do you believe the marble's coming? Absolutely. And yet his body reflected a different reality, a different understanding of the marble. That of course I believe in God, of course I believe in this marble, of course I know that this society needs to be destroyed. And yet there's a part of him that he didn't feel it in the same way. To be able to believe it again, to take the theory and to live it and to feel it is a very hard thing. And again, I think that's something that we can relate to in a very deep way. We all believe in Torah. We all believe that God exists. We all believe in mitzvos. We believe in davening. We believe in these things. But there's a part of us that's mamin ve'eno mamin. There's a part of us that believes on one hand and really doesn't believe on another hand. L'mashal. When someone's sick and you daven for them, do you believe that it makes a difference? Do you believe that it makes a difference? So I would say about myself, mamin ve'eno mamin. There's a part of me that believes, and I can give you all the sources that tell you that every word of tefillah is never wasted, and it makes a difference, right? And I can tell you all sorts of inspiring stories about tefillahs that seem to have been accepted, and how they worked, and how there was a salvation. And yet there's a part of me that when I take a sitter in my hand, and I daven for my wife's friend's father, who unfortunately is very not well, right? There's a part of me that believes, I can't, nothing I can actually do to save this man's life. So there's a part of us that's mamin ve'eno mamin. How about Torah? Do we believe that when we learn Torah, it really matters that much? Because according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner in the Nefesh HaChaim, he has it in two places. Perek Yud Aleph, again, I think in Perek Chaf Hei, in the fourth shar of Nefesh HaChaim, that when a Jew learns Torah, it keeps the world spinning. Do we believe that? Do we believe that if there wouldn't be someone learning Torah for a second, the world would go back to Tohu Vavohu? Do we believe that? Again, we've read it in the Svarim. There's a part of us that knows that Torah is the life force of the world. But it's mamin ve'eno mamin. There's a part of us that also says, do I really think that if no one was learning in a second, the world would just cease to exist? All of a sudden, it wouldn't explode. It would just stop. It would just disappear suddenly. Gone. That the world is only able to sustain itself because of Torah. Do we believe that? Again, there's a part of us, I believe that there's a part of us that believes it 100%, and there's a part of us that doesn't believe it at all. How could that be? Mamin ve'eino mamin. Intellectually, we know it's true. There's a part of our neshama that tells us 100% it's true. And there's a cynical part of ourself, right, that until I see it with my own eyes, until I experience it with my senses, then ain't no mamin. How about Chazal? When Chazal says certain things, the Gemara says that kos shel bracha, that if you bench, let's say someone's benching, and they use a cup of wine to bench on a kos, that's called a kos shel bracha. Kiddush, havdalah, kos shel bracha. Chazal say, the Gemara says that a kos shel bracha has the value of arba'im zehuvim, 40 gold coins. Do you believe that? You believe it's worth 40 gold coins? The Chassam Sofer one time was mechabed someone with a kos shel bracha. He said, you lead the benching. And afterwards, he said to him, he said, you should know that was a big thing I gave you. Chazal say that a kosher bracha is worth 40 gold coins. So the fellow, slightly disrespectfully, and perhaps brutally honestly, said to the Chassam Sofer, truthfully, I'd rather have 40 gold coins. Like, I know the Gemara says this is worth 40 gold coins, but I'd rather have money in my wallet. So the Chassam Sofer got very serious, and he took out money, and he said, I'll pay you for it. I'll pay you. I'll buy it off of you. Right? You think Chazal are joking when they say it's worth 40 gold coins? You think they're just playing games? Chazal are trying to trick you into having an appreciation for mitzvahs? When they tell you it's worth 40 gold coins, it's worth 40 gold coins. You think it's a joke? I'll pay you for it. It has real value. It has very real value. This past Shabbos at Shal Shudas, I shared this story from the Chassam Sofer, and then we benched, and I said at the end, I'm going to divide up the kosher bracha so everyone can take home a little bit. I'm going to see who takes home a little bit of wine. Is it poured into your Havdalah? So see who really believes it's worth 40 gold coins. You know, would you pay for it? If someone says, I'll sell you some kosher bracha, I'll give you a discounted price, 20 gold coins. You ready to buy? Do you believe that it actually has value, that Torah has value, that mitzvahs have value, that tefillah has real value? And again, that's the world of Noach, the Mamon ve'ino Mamon. It's the opposite of the Eved Hashem, the Gematria Amuna of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu, in many ways, the Sfarim say, was a Gilgal and a Tikkun of Noach. Because everything that Noach was wavering in, Moshe solidified. Moshe brought to fruition in the most absolute way. I want to just talk for 3 more minutes. I want to talk about Chodesh Mar Cheshvan and connect it to this. Because we're coming out of a month where we feel it's easier to believe in certain things. You come out of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we feel a little bit. It's not just intellectual. We feel something. Yom Kippur. By Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, you feel something. Right? It's not an intellectual awareness, oh, this is a day of Mechila, Slicha, and Kapara. That I feel something. Hopefully, on Yom Kippur, at the very least, on Yom Kippur, by the end of Yom Kippur, when we cry out, you know, Hashem, Hu Elokim, hopefully we feel something. There's no longer this divide between my body and my soul. Right? I've kind of given up on the body for the day by refraining from the various things that we refrained from on Yom Kippur. And I've allowed it to sort of unify with my soul, and I feel it. It's not in the Munah Sichlis. It's not an intellectual awareness that Yom Kippur is a holy day. It's a feeling that hopefully we have, that it trickles down. So Tishrei is a time where, again, it's able to have these big types of experiences and to feel it in a deep way. And then you come to the month right afterwards called Mar Cheshvan. And all of a sudden, we're thrown back into the regular flow of life, right? And Mamon Ve'ino Mamon. I don't know. Yeah, Yom Kippur was great, but did I, you know, is this year going to be Manishtana, Tafshin Ayin Zayin, Mi Tafshin Ayin Vav? Do I feel like a different person coming back to YU now, coming back to Yeshiva now? It's a new world, it's a new beginning, I've been cleansed, fresh start. I still have some old Yitzharas. Right? And it's hard. It's hard to feel that the little things that I do actually matter. But I'd like to suggest a new explanation of the name Cheshvan. It does suggest the following explanation of the name. Because where does the name Cheshvan come from? The names of the calendar, the months of the calendar, are rooted in non-Jewish sources. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that when they came back from Golas Bavel, they had all these strange names. Tammuz, for example, is the name of an Avodah Zarah. It's the name of an idol. So the months are not Jewish names.
Some are.
What did you say?
Some are.
Yeah, which one?
Elul
is a Jewish name?
No.
We interpret all of them to have very deep intent. That's what we're going to do with Cheshvan now also. But the Talmud Yerushalmi says the names were borrowed from our experience in Golis. We brought them back. What did you say?
The Babylonian gods.
Yeah. Right, these are Babylonian gods.
They're muscles, right?
They're what?
Muscles.
Oh yeah, okay, but again, is that, you know, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Ein Mazel Yisrael. So it's a little bit outside of our world, these names. And yet, we accepted them. They became part of our world. And we're trying to figure out, okay, so what's the deeper Hashgacha Pratis it came to be that we call this month Cheshvan? So why? What does that mean? We have to try to understand it in a deep way, in Pnimiyas HaTorah, to try to figure out what's the deeper meaning behind this name of the month Cheshvan. So I'd like to suggest the following. It's based on a Radak in Tehillim. In Tehillim, Perek Yud Zayin, David HaMelech says, Shamreini, protect me, ki ishon bat ayin. Protect me like the ishon bas ayin. Protect me like the ishon, like the pupil of the eye. The pupil of the eye is very delicate. So David HaMelech says to God, protect me, watch over me, provide for me with the same care, right? And with the sensitivity that one has to guard his eye. God forbid, to get poked straight in the eye, right? It's very fragile, very delicate. So Hashem says, so David says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David says to God, Shamreini, protect me, ki ishon bas ayin. Why is the pupil of the eye called an ishon? Aleph yud shin vav nun. So the Radak, in his commentary on Talmud, says an amazing thing. He says, because when you look another Jew in the eye, what do you see? When you look another person in the eye, what do you see? You see a miniature reflection of yourself. He says, vav nun, as a suffix to a word, always means a miniature something. So the word ishon means what? Ishon, a miniature man. So you look another person in the eye, you see a miniature, right? You see a little mirror image in that other person's eye, you see a reflection of yourself. The message obviously being that when I'm talking to someone else, I should see the person who I'm speaking to as much bigger and greater than me, and I just see a little version of me, to remind myself to be humble. To remind myself that the other person is bigger than me in some way, and I want to learn from them. That I shouldn't, God forbid, you know, exert myself and try to dominate them and to say that I'm greater than you and I'm bigger than you and I'm better than you. But rather, I see a small version of me and I see the fullness of you. That's the message of it. But we learn from this Radak a klal. We learn an interesting insight into the eye, the way Hashem programmed the body. But we learn a klal in what Vav Nun means. Vav Nun means a miniature version of something. Ishon, a miniature man. Yom Kippur is referred to in the Torah as Shabbat Shabbaton, Shabbat Shabbaton. Right? Also, something miniature, something small. So therefore, what's Cheshvan? What's Chodesh Cheshvan? Cheshvan could be understood as what? Chosh Vavnun. Vavnun means small. We just came out of Tishrei. Tishrei is referred to in Tanakh and in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah as Yerach HaEtonim, the strong month, the big month. Big events, big opportunities. Rosh Hashanah, Seir Shemichuva, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, big events. Easy to feel. But now Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's easy to have a moon in Tishrei. But do you have a moona? Do you have a moon in Cheshvan? Chosh Vavnon, Chosh, a moona chushis, like the Stipler said. Not a moona sichlis, not an intellectual awareness. Not, I know my little mitzvahs matter, but yeah, do you really? Do you feel the Vavnun? Do you feel that small things actually matter? Do you feel it? Do you feel that the Vavnuns of our life, so to speak, the small things, the details of our life actually matter? That a word of Torah actually keeps the world spinning? Or one word of tefillah could be the difference between a person surviving an illness or not? And that a cup of wine, because it was used for a mitzvah all of a sudden, went from being a regular cup of wine to being valued at 40 gold coins? Do you believe such a thing? That's a hard thing to believe. But that's the avodah of Chodesh Cheshvan. And that was what Noach was struggling with. Amamin ve'eno mamin. Right? Show me something big. Put it before my eyes. Give me a Yom Kippur. And of course, I believe it. I believe it intellectually, and I believe it emotionally, and I feel it. But what about in those quieter moments? Right? What about when Noach's up against the whole world? Right? And even if God's on your side, but the whole world says otherwise. So I don't know. So I'm grappling. Amamin ve'eno mamin. I'm going back and forth. The avodah of Cheshvan is the chosh, to feel vavnun, the little things. To realize that the little things also matter a lot. Just tell you a quick maaser. Rav Kook's Talmud, Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, I read in the Hebrew biography. There was someone in Yerushalayim, some rabbi, some Hasidic rabbi in Yerushalayim, who had a special hanhaga by Havdalah. He had some whole ceremony he would do by Havdalah. And Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap heard about this. And he said, listen, here he does this holy thing. I want to learn. I want to watch. I want to observe how he does Abdullah, how he makes Abdullah. So he traveled. He went to see how he does Abdullah. And he couldn't get in. And it's very exclusive. Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap even couldn't get in. So he climbed up on the windowsill outside this Rebbe's room where he was making Abdullah. And he's like literally hanging on, looking through the window, trying to watch how this Rebbe makes Abdullah. So someone said to Rav Yaakov Moshe, it's beneath your kavod to do such a thing. And what do you need? You need this hanhaga from some. You're going to go around collect different hanhagos. This is what this Hasidic Rebbe does. This how this Hasidic Rebbe does it. You're like, what's the big deal? You know how to make havdalah. You know the halachos. You know deep kavanas. What do you need? What are you doing? You're climbing on the windowsill to peer through this window to see how it makes havdalah. So Yaakov Moshe said, for a crumb of ruchnius, it's well worth it. I love that phrase, a crumb of ruchnius. You know, a crumb usually you think is not worth very much. A crumb, it's just a crumb. Right? It's not like the real thing, it's just a crumb. It's a couple leftover. After you ate the whole meal, there's crumbs. You're not going to collect the crumbs. But when we talk about ruchnias, we talk about spirituality, we talk about godliness, we talk about mitzvos, we talk about deepening our connection with Hashem, a slightly deeper connection with Hashem is a big deal. And we have to internalize it, we have to feel that, we have to know that. Not just know it intellectually, but know it through our body, through our senses. Rav Yaakov Moshe said, of course it's worth it to climb on a windowsill, to exert myself a little bit more, to have a slightly new understanding of how I can connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's well worth it. It's well worth it. Everything is worth it if we're ma'amin, if we're really ma'amin. So Mir Tzashem, we should be zocha to be what the Gemara calls us, ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. The Jewish people are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, that our emunah is through and through. Right? That we have a Kabbalah and a tradition of being ma'aminim. Not to be like Noach. Not to be like Noach, who was ma'amin ve'eino ma'amin. Who really believed, and his whole life reflected it. He built the boat. He gave the Musar Shmuz, and he warned everyone else. And yet he didn't enter into the Teva until he got pushed in. We have to be like Moshe ben Aaron, Eved Hashem. The great praise of being an Eved Hashem is that I'm consistent. That through and throughout, my emunah in Hashem is absolute. Eved Hashem begematria emunah. And then Amir Tzashem, if we could do that, if we could be the types of people who are able to say, Ani ma'am b'emunah shleima, without any, I want to have emunah. And to be able to say, Ana avda de kutcha b'richo, not Ana b'ina l'mehevi, I want to be an Eved of Hashem. If we could do that, if Klal Yisrael can do that, if we could really have that emunah when it's so hard, then Amir Tzashem will survive the marvel that's taking place in the world today. Which is certainly taking place in the world today. Thank you very much for having me.